Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, the Bible. And we come together, every time we come together, we're not only here to encounter your presence, but also, God, we want to hear from you. And more than ever, we need to listen and hear your truth, the truth. And your word is the truth. All scriptures in the Bible is inspired by God and is useful to equip us, to teach us, to rebuke us, to make us ready for every good work. So, Lord, as I take this time right now to share your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would use me and you use your word to teach me first, to equip me first, but also to challenge your people and make them ready for your return. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Awesome. So I've been talking about the fear of the Lord. You know, why is it important to fear God? You know, and last week I made a difference between being afraid of God and the fear of God. The fear of God is not afraid of God. The fear of God is having a holy reverence, knowing God doesn't mess around. Sin and God doesn't go hand to hand. Hand in hand. Yeah. Sin, darkness. There's a song we sing earlier. That was so good. I love that song. I want to pull the lyric. It's the song that talks about, let's go back here. I just want to find it. It's I saw the light. I saw the light. It says, I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. But Jesus came like a stranger in the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in the darkness. No more in the darkness. And I tell you, if I actually, I'm going to quote this from Lisa Bevere. It says, if you are truly a believer, a Christian, if you're genuinely saved, you should understand the mandate is Jesus must be your Lord, not just your Savior. The difference is, you know, sometimes people confess Jesus as their Savior. Oh, I believe in Jesus. But guess who's on the driver's seat? You know, how many times we talk about this, especially when we're teaching our young kids. I remember when that happened with me and Ryan, you know, of course, you're the master driver right here, but you're really teaching them how to drive. But then for them to build their confidence, you have to let them drive, right? I remember one time, Ryan just got so frustrated. I mean, he said, well, Dad, then you want to drive? Do you want to drive? Because I'm not on the driver's seat. I must sit back, maybe hang on a little tighter on my chair. But at least let him drive. But let me tell you this. If you are a genuine believer, a genuine follower of Christ, you can't be on the driver's seat. Jesus must be your Lord. And you know what the Lord, the Greek word that translated word, Lord means, it's Adonai, which means owner. You know, thank God for our freedom. Kendra talked about it, but us Americans, we don't like the ideas of being owned by anybody. We love our freedom. Let me tell you this. When you became a Christian, back in the days, the approach, she said, was the life you live was not yours anymore. When you give your life to Jesus, you automatically understood, my life is not my own anymore. My life belongs to Jesus. I don't live for my own desires anymore. I choose to let Christ in the driver's seat. So therefore, if I didn't use to forgive, what's going to happen to me? I have to forgive. It's not a choice. I mean, yeah, of course you have a choice, but it's not, we can't negotiate with forgiveness. Your life, the life you live was no longer your own when you give your life to Jesus. And you were bought with a price. The blood of Jesus. Jesus paid it all. He came from heaven to earth and he showed you how it's done. We don't need any more priests to take you to the Holy of Holies. You and I, we have access to Father through the blood of Jesus. And we learn that God also have a plan for us. But a lot of time, when we become, especially now with this open-minded kind of thing they're promoting, Christians, a lot of Christians have a plan for God in their lives. Oh, I'm a believer, but I have a plan for God in my life. So we try to fit God in our personal conviction. Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. You don't have a truth. I don't have a truth. The Word of God is the truth. So once again, if I give a title to my message just to branch off the fear of the Lord, it would be pay attention. Attention. You know, we all, you know, this, you remember those signs? It's like a triangle with a red exclamation in the middle. Attention. Pay attention. Open your Bibles with me in Acts chapter 2, verse 40. We talked a lot last week on Acts chapter 2, but today I want to go back again in chapter in verse 40. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners. He said, this would be the title of my message: save yourselves from this crooked generation. Save yourself from this crooked generation. I told you a story last week. I met a guy, and you know, him and I, we were talking, and he's like, yeah, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor, you know. And he looked at me for like 5 seconds with a little grin in his face. He's like, oh, that's tough business. Tough business. I said, yeah, it is tough business. I said, how do you know? I said, are you a pastor? He says, no, I've got many pastors for it. You know, I mean, to be honest with you, unless a preacher, a pastor, someone who's called to ministry is clinging to the presence of God, then I don't see how you can make it. If you keep your eyes on the people, their action, their reaction, their response, you get discouraged. I mean, there is nothing like a concert. You know, if you go to, or even if you, if some of you that goes to concert, the musician up here, they get their, there's a connection when the people is responding. You know, if, especially, right then? Right? Okay? So Dan Conker, okay? So I'm not just talking. Dan's a great musician. He knows what I'm talking about. When you're playing music, you know, and then you look at, I'm not pointing finger, all right? I'm just a messenger. There's no judgment here. But it's just a funny example. You know, you're playing good music, you know, you go to a concert. Some of you go to a concert. I actually have seen it. People that goes to a concert. You know, you go to a rock concert. The guitar is playing. You feel the rhythm. And then you see a bunch of people stand over there like. It's like, why did you come to a concert? To watch the musicians? I don't get it. Because you go to a concert to enjoy yourself. Right? You know? Now, I understand if you go to a symphony, you know, or, you know, good strings, instruments playing. Yeah, you want to sit and enjoy the music. But if you go to a concert where music is playing, people are having a good time, right? What do you do? I mean, I know you might not be able to do all that, but at least you could be. And I say all this to tell you why. To tell you what. I was having a good, awesome conversation with the Lord a couple days ago. Last week, actually. And then the Lord reminded me of the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 6. Because I go to God, I complain. I realize I complain to two people. First God, and then I kill Kendra with my complaints. There are certain things I can't tell you yet. I'm not supposed to tell you. I need to go to God. So I'm going to God and I'm like, God, this and that, you know, Lord, this, this. Jesus went, remember, Jesus was praying. He said, Father, is there another way? Is there another way? But then he said, not my will, but let your will be done. So the Lord took me to Genesis chapter 6. When you study homework, I give you homework. When you study Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you can read it at home this week. You realize God said, I repented from created men because they are perverse. Now, you still have the verse on here. It says, Peter continued on the screen. It says, Peter continued to preach, continue preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners. He says what? Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Now, I'm going to pull it from the Message version. It says, he went on in his vein for a long time, urging them over and over, get out while you can. Get out of this generation while you can. Get out of this sick and stupid culture. How do you do that? That's a good question right there. How do you do that? The Passion Translation says, Peter preached to them and warn them. I want you to maybe write that down if you have your notebook. I hope you have notebook or in your phone. Warn them. Attention. Pay attention. Peter told them, he's like, be aware. Pay attention. Pay attention. When someone says, hey, you pay attention. Warning. Danger. You better pay attention because it might cost your life. Pay attention, be warned. It says, be rescued from this wayward and perverse culture of this world. Now, the New King James, if you can pull it up for me, I think the New King James have the word perverse in there in Acts chapter 2. He says, save yourselves from this perverse generation. And then God took me back to Genesis chapter 6. He said, in my spirit, I'm having this awesome conversation with the Lord. He said, I mean, giving over 100 years. He told Noah to build an ark. Just briefly, let's go with me. Because there is something I want you to see there. Let's go in Genesis chapter 6. I'm not going to read, but there's one verse I want you to see. Genesis chapter 6. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Genesis chapter 6. Verse. Actually. Chapter 7, verse 1. When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, go into the boat. I got to find it. It's not in my note. Doesn't matter. I need to find it. I just remember I read that there's one verse. I'm like, yes. You help me find it. It's the version where it's the verse where God said, it says Noah was a righteous man. The only righteous man. 6:9, chapter 6, verse 9. What does it say, Jared? Right there. Ah. It says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among all people. Are you righteous? Are you living a blameless life? And some of us could be like, well, who could? I can show you in the Bible. But I know people even now. I know even in our midst. I know some of you. I know my life. Are you living a righteous life? Are you living a blameless life? Jesus is coming back, guys. Are you ready? Any of us can die tomorrow. Are you ready to face death? Noah was a righteous man, blameless among all the people of his time. He walked, this is it, faithfully. This word here means he walked in fellowship. Noah had a relationship with Jesus. As much as I wish I could have a really, maybe a closer relationship with all of you, it's impossible. But you and I, we have a connection. Because at least I see you every Sunday. Most of you, I see you every Sunday. Some of you, I speak to you a couple times a week. But I understand, I'm not God. But I think about it. I hope people don't have their relationship with God the way they have it with their pastor. It's just a funny example, but it's so deep. It says here, Noah was in fellowship. Fellowship. Noah was blameless. Are you in fellowship with God? Because if you are in fellowship with God, you won't keep wallowing in your sins. If you are in fellowship with God, you won't keep struggling with your addiction. There is enough power in the Holy Spirit to break the chains of addiction. There is enough power that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will give you the willpower. Now, don't get me wrong. I know addiction can be powerful. But I also know the blood of Jesus is more powerful. And I also know there is nothing like a willpower. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing like when you put your mind on something, you want to do it. I don't know about, but this is how I am. Yes. When I put my mind on something, oh, I want to do it. And the same thing, when I put my mind on something that I don't want to do, both ways. Sometimes I put my mind on something that I want to do that won't please God. But then this is where the Holy Spirit comes in my conscience and tell me, well, that's not the right way to be. God said, Ricardo, Noah, build an ark for over 100 years. Some manuscript says 120. Noah preached. I'm sure we could assume Noah had brothers, nephews. I'm sure Noah went to his family and said, guys, save yourself from this perverse generation. I hear from God. God says, God told me, go up to the mountain, build an ark, because I'm going to destroy the earth. People laughed at him. He's like, you're really crazy. You know what? You're nuts. Usually people build a boat by the ocean. You went to the Rocky Mountain to build yourself an ark about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. Man, I can imagine Noah's family, his mom and dad, you know, his cousin, they're talking about, you know, Noah, man, we really feel bad for Noah, man. People said that he's crazy, but now we went and check it out. He really is really crazy. I mean, I can imagine them feeling so bad for Noah, making fun of him. He preached for 120 years. He built the boat for 120 years. At the end, he could only save his wife, his sons, and their wives. And God said, you see, Ricardo, you don't have it bad. I tell you, that word gave me wings in the past week. It changes my perspective. It changes my whole view. I said, Lord, give me your grace to remain true to exactly what you want me to do. Don't wait on people's response. Don't look at, the church is not filled. This is not what it's about. But Lord, give me that desire to remain true. 120 years, I can feel Noah's agony. I can feel his pain over the soul of his family, his neighbors. Noah knew the flood was coming. Noah heard from God. I could feel it. I could see it. I mean, I read that again last night. I'm like, Lord, I mean, the time has come. And when God says, Noah, now I want you to go into the boat. I want you to take pairs of animals. I can see Noah crying. People didn't listen. The same message. Noah was saying, save yourself from this perverse generation. Come to God. Repent of your sin. This is the time for us to be refreshed in the presence of God. I tell you, nothing can bring you peace. Nothing can soothe your pain but the presence of God. Guys, listen to me. Unless you go deep in the presence, go deep in the Word, seek His first, seek His face, seek His face. Satan is all after your soul. Satan already knows he's doomed. Satan already knows he's going to hell. He knows it. Satan knows he's got no chance. No chance. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1-5. Listen to what it says. It says, listen, O heaven, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words that I say. Let my teaching fall on you like rain. Let my speech settle like dew. Let my words fall like rain on tender grass, like gentle showers on young plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright he is. Verse 5. But God said, the prophet said, but they have acted corruptly towards him. When they act so perversely, are they really his children? Let me tell you this. This is what this verse is saying. If you genuinely saved, your actions should be completely, totally different from pagans, from heathens. It's not a bad word. It's just, it means people that doesn't know the Lord. I tell you, that's one truth. People don't want to hear it. When you hear this word, that is not my words. People call you, you know, stiff, you know, they call you, you're not open-minded, you're not accepting. That's, remember what I told you. I read it. Back in the days, the approach was when you give your life to the Lord, you live darkness and you're now in the light. So if you had a boyfriend, a girlfriend, when you were in darkness, you were messing around with them, living fornication. Now you become in the light. Guess what? You can't be. Young men, young women, whatever your age, you're in pornography, you're in darkness. Now you're in the light. Guess what? When you're in the light, you can't continue in the deeds of darkness. That's what it's saying here. Be careful. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. So that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Crooked, thank you. Hold firmly to the word of life. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, that my work was not useless. This verse here, I said, yes, that's right. I want to make sure when God comes back, He's not going to blame me because I wanted to please everybody. I wanted to be this preacher. I wanted to be like, I tell you, everybody, we all deal with this. We all like to people, for people to like us. I don't know if you like me, but it's not nice when people don't like you, right? They just hate you. And sometimes you don't even know what you do. But be careful. Pay attention. Pay attention. I want you to pay attention. Pay attention when prayer becomes a difficult thing for you. Pay attention when prayer has become a difficult thing for you. And when I'm talking about prayer, I'm not, oh, Lord, thank you for this day. Oh, Jesus, oh, thank you for this food, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I'm going to sleep. Oh, may I rest in peace tonight. I lay myself to sleep, Lord. I lay in you. That's good prayer, but that's not what the prayer, this is not bedtime prayer I'm talking about. I'm talking about warfare. I'm talking about taking time. And I pray over this church. I know some of you cannot drive at night. I wish I could do prayer every Friday night. Because something happened when you pray. I tell you what's happening. I step in revival because in the past four couple weeks, I feel like I'm struggling. I just feel like, I feel like the worries of life, you know, finance, you know, kids, church, my body. I mean, I start having back pains. And for a long time, I never had back pains. And I'm like, I'm not getting old yet. Why should I be having back pain? Not only I'm praying, but I had to go to the chiropractor to figure out all that stuff because I'm like, you know, I begin to not sleeping well. I'm like, okay, Scott, you and I need to have an encounter. You know what I did? I closed myself in the presence. I come here. I wait. I come here, I cry. I cry like a baby. I come here, I say, Lord, I need you. I walk around, I say, Jesus, I don't know, I need you. You know? But, you know, it's like, I didn't want to do that. I want to stay home watching something, chill back, you know, it's cool, do a fire. But I'm just telling you my story. You deal with your story. But we live in the time right now, unless you know how to fight to go for the real deal. I tell you, Satan will eat your life. The worries of life will eat your life. And the words of Peter saying, be careful, pay attention. Save yourself from this crooked, from this perverse generation. Save yourself from these people who just want to come to church and hear this good feeling sermon. And you're a good preacher, good sermon pastor. You know, you don't want to hear things that disturb your life. Before you know it, oh, I'm not coming back there. You want to go places where appeasing to you or to what you need. Pay attention when prayer becomes a difficult thing for you. Be careful when fasting has become a story in your spiritual life. Oh, be careful. If you are in the stage right now, you're like, man, I remember when I used to love to sing for Jesus. I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to ride on someone else's passion. I want my fire to, because when you come back, not only you want to find me on fire, but you also want find me with oil in my lamp. Oil and fire in the Bible represent the presence of God. Oh, I pray, as I speak these words to you, your heart burns, and you run after God, you cry out to God. Pay attention, be careful, pay attention when you no longer enjoy reading the Word of God. Enjoy. I'm talking about enjoy. It's not a chore.
Oh, I must read the Bible. The pastor might ask me if I read the Bible.
If you like that, if you go 1 week and you never open the Word, 2 months, 6 months, you never in the Bible, you know what's happening to your spirit? It's dying if it's not dead already. Because unless you're feeding your spirit with the Word of God, sermon being the presence of God, your spirit, you might think it's alive. Then the trumpet sound, and then you realize you remain. You remain. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? I want to make sure when he comes back, that's what Paul said here. He said, I'm reading it again. Philippians chapter 5, 2 verse 15. He says, so that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. On the day of Christ's return, oh, I will be proud. I told myself, I said, God, I'm going to pray, yeah. I'm going to intercede. I'm going to love. But Lord, give me your grace so I don't do like Moses. You remember what happened to Moses? Moses became so aggravated, so frustrated with the people, God told him, speak to the rock. And Moses wanted to hit the people. He hit the rock. God said, listen, Moses, I told you to speak to the rock. But you give in into your ego. You give in into your pride. You became angry. You focus on the people. So therefore, I'm going to give you the opportunity to see the promised land. But you won't make it. I don't want to be like Moses. That's my choice. I tell you the truth. You choose it. You follow Jesus today with all your heart. If you feel like your fire is dying, cry out. Fast. Find people who are on fire for Jesus. Find people who are on fire for the word. Pay attention if coming together. You know, I said, if coming together is a burden. I said here, when I read the Bible, I want to lead a cell-based church. That's why I promote home groups. Because I read the Bible, I said the believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were together in fellowship. I know some of you can't drive at night. I understand that. That's why we make it a priority to come to you once in a while. But for those of you, there are some of you, you've never been in home groups since I'm here. And we talk about home groups. And I didn't say that to make you feel bad, but I just said that to help you realize if coming together is a burden, pay attention. Home group life, together, fellowship, praying, iron sharpen iron. Do life together. When you're going through something, you're not by yourself. Pay attention. Be careful when participating in home group church program becomes more of a burden than a blessing. Ah, today I got a good church. That's why people don't come. That's why people say, well, church is not essential anymore. If only you knew. If only you knew, you would put church activity, relationship with the body of Christ at the top of the list. Priority. 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 You would make it your priority. Home group, fellowship, prayer, communion with God. You know, I mean, you name it. Be careful. Pay attention. If or when coming together, participating in the church program becomes more of a burden than a blessing. Be careful when living, be aware when living a life, what they call a lifestyle that looks more like an unbeliever in the name of grace. You know, oh, there's grace in the gospel. I can lie, I can cheat, I can be dishonest, I can be a hypocrite. Guess what? I can go to God, I say, God, you know me. I can talk to people the way I want to because God knows I'm human. You ever heard those things? I have. People say, oh, God knows I'm human. But yes, but I don't live by my human desire. I live by the Spirit. And the more I live by the Spirit, the less I accomplish the desire of the flesh. And then the more spiritually I become, the more mature I become spiritually. And then my flesh, my soul, realize who's the boss. I don't have to drink when I feel low. As a matter of fact, I can drink the Spirit. And there's nothing like it. You've tried it. I feel low this week. I feel low this season. I go and drink. I mean, an example. I haven't done that, but I go, you know, go drink, and then you drunk, and then you sleep, and then wake up the next morning. How do you feel? Worse. But there's nothing like when I'm feeling low. I call at the name of the Lord. I go in the presence. Oh, I find a brother. I find a community. They pray over me. You know, there's nothing like it. Where vision is renewed. Be careful, my brothers and sisters. That's what Paul's saying. When your heart no longer desires to see the Lord one day, you should live your Christian life that today is the last day. Jesus might come back today. You might die today. You know the crazy thing is, death is one thing that never announces its arrival. You know, I lost a friend recently, and then before he died, I remember I was talking with him, and I said, "So, tell me, what do you see in life right now?" He says, "You know, at the end of your life," because he realized that was the end of his life. He says, "At the end of your life, I realized none of those things really matter. They're good, but at the end of the life, none of that does matter." I hope, I pray that these words burn your hearts. This is not a pleasant message. Believe me, it's not like I'm enjoying telling you all this. No. But this is the truth we must hear. Be careful when eating is more important than praying. Pay attention. And eating. Come together to fellowship eating. There's good fellowship, but we're always eating, but then we can't pray. Be careful when you're no longer able to share Jesus in your environment, in your community, because you've been dancing like them. And then one day you just like start talking about Jesus, they might laugh at you. Pay attention. Satan is not resting. And I'm going to finish with this. I thank God for our cell leaders. They know themselves. At first, when I asked him to read, to do the study of the book of Revelation, some of them looked at me. You remember we started reading I started preaching on the book of Revelation, and then I transitioned in our home groups. Good thing is, I think everybody's done, except me. But I'm proud of them, and I thank God for them. And last week, I'm going to finish with these verses. Probably we'll be coming back again from Revelation chapter 22, verse 10. Then he instructed me, "Do not seal up the prophetic words in this book, for the time is near. Let the one who is doing harm continue to do harm. Let the one who is vile continue to be vile. Let the one who is righteous continue to live righteously. Let the one who is holy continue to live holy." The Passion Translation says, "Don't keep secrets about these prophetic words in the book. Let the evildoers be at their worst. People that does bad thing, there's a prophetic word out there in the Bible that says, before the Lord returns, they're going to be worse. People are going to, the way they're going to, I mean, sometimes some of those things, you're like, how is that even possible? But at the same time, it says, let yet the righteous will still do what is right. I said, Lord, let this prophecy accomplish in my life. Let me want to do what's right more than ever before. I want justice. I want peace. I want healing for our nations. Verse 6, the same chapter. It says, then the angel said to me, everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The Lord God, who inspires his prophets, has sent his angel to tell his servants what will be happening soon. He says, look, the word of Jesus, verse 7, I'm coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of this prophecy written in this book. Verse 12, look, I'm coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to what? Their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all who love to live. I don't know you. Jesus knows you. Are you living a lie? Or are you true to yourself? I tell you, today is the day for salvation. And when I say salvation, in my email I sent you last week, Acts chapter 3, repentance doesn't mean, oh, you were so bad, you know, you were away from the Lord. No, I tell you, this week again, I repented. Because I'm growing. The more I grow in the Lord, the more I repent. Repentance means, it's this way. Okay, yeah, I repent. I change. Repentance means I change my ways. Oh, okay. I'm changing my ways every day. I tell you, if only you knew. I mean, some of you can tell. Even when I first came here, am I the same person?
No.
I don't even look the same. Look. I'm trying. I say, this belly's not popping. But seriously, I'm going from glory to glory, right? And you are as well, growing from glory to glory. Now I want to give you some time to respond to God's word. I'll ask Dan to just come play the piano for me. And we're going to sing, Lord, I Come. Do you need to repent? Do you need to draw closer to the Lord? Oh, Lamb of God, I come. And I want to give you the time to respond. It says, save yourself from this perverse generation. Do you find yourself wanting to go with the crowd? Do you find yourself fighting to be the witness God's calling you to be? More than ever, God's calling us to His standard. His standard. He must be your Lord, not just your Savior. So as we take a couple minutes, I'll encourage you to just respond to the word of the Lord this morning. If you need to come to the altar, I'm not going to pray for you. If you need to come to the altar, come to Christ, if you need to repent, Maybe you're watching online and you know God's speaking to your heart. Or you grew in church, you hear, and you know that your life is not the way it should be. You're not living a life surrendered to God. There's a great invitation, my brothers and sisters. Respond. Let's do that.